Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to my presentation, which is titled Effect of Granular Size of Silica Slide on Silicon Availability in Soil and Uptake by Wheat. Wheat is the second most important crop, both in terms of production and consumption globally. In the United States, wheat is the most important cereal crop. Total wheat production in 2016 and 2017 cover over 20 million hectares in the United States, but wheat production is on a decline. Mostly because other crops that are more profitable than wheat production usually, you know, supersede in the mind of the farmer. So they usually replace wheat with these crops that are more profitable. And then in the USDA has projected that in 2017 and 2018 production season, total wheat production area is going to decline by up to 2 million hectares, and that's a lot of production area. The United States is the fourth largest producer of wheat in the world, but it is the first highest exporter of wheat, with total export amounting to over $9 billion, according to the USDA. Wheat is one of those crops that have been classified as hard silicon accumulating crop, meaning that it can have up to or greater than 3% of silicon in its straw. So silicon is the second most abundant element in the earth crust by mass. In fact, over 90% of earth mineral has some silicate compound in it. And this is the reason why when we talk about silicon fertilization in agriculture, people usually ask, why do we need to do that when there's so much silicon in the soil already? But like any other plant essential nutrient, to be taken up, it has to be in the right form. And the right form of silicon taken up by plant is monosilicic acid. But the natural release of monosilicic acid by silicate compound is a very slow process, thereby necessitating the supply of silicon to agriculture crop, especially for crops that have high demand for silicon. Today in crop nutrition, silicon is the most controversial element. In fact, most crop physiology and plant nutrition generally regard it as non-essential, simply because its role have not been, you know, typically described, or its function in plant metabolism is not fully understood. But since the 1950s, when silicon research began in agriculture, it has been well established that silicon fertilization can lead to increased drought resistance in plant by decreasing the rate of transpiration, especially under limited water condition. Silicon implant can also improve cell structure and plant integrity, thereby reducing lodging. It can also reduce pest and disease problem, and especially for crop produced on anaerobic condition like rice, silicon is also said to reduce the toxic effect of metals. I mean, all these contribution of silicon to agriculture can lead to improved crop yield when all these group inhibiting factors is present. So as I said earlier, the soil is a very big source of silicon in agriculture, but the release of silicon from the soil is slow. Crop residues such as rice, sugarcane, and wheat, which typically take a lot of silicon in the soil, can also return some silicon back when this crop residue remain in the field upon decomposition. But again, that is a slow process considering the fact that if the succeeding crop has high demand for silicon. Wollastonite, which is also a pure silicate mineral, has also been used extensively in silicon research in agriculture. It has a high content of silicon, about 23%. But this material is very expensive, and more besides, there are other competition for other industrial uses, so making it not very useful for application in agriculture on a large scale. Silicate slide so far have been seen to be the most promising source of silicon in agriculture. It is an industrial byproduct, usually from steel production. It is highly soluble both in soil and water, and since it is a byproduct, it's readily available. It contains other essential plant nutrients also, such as calcium, magnesium, and manganese, and can have up to 12% silicon, depending on the source of the slide. It has been used extensively in the tropics to correct soil acidity. It's a very effective liming material, and it is relatively inexpensive, depending on the distance of the farmer from the source of the fertilizer. So with this background on silicon, like, and then on wheat, we started to ask some questions that we wanted to answer. One, does the granular size of silicate slide affect the release of monosilicic acid from the material? And then what could be the optimal application rate for silicon application in wheat? So we had to answer this question, we had a research project with two objectives. One, to document the effect of different granular size of silicate slide on the release of silicic acid to wheat. And two, to establish the optimal silicon application rate for wheat cultivation using different granular size. So to achieve this objective, we had a research project. So basically what we did was, we obtained two different silicate slide material from two different sources. So basically we need them slide one and slide two, depending on the source they came from. And this material came in different sizes, which we categorize as fine, coarse, pellet, or hole, depending on the size, as you can see here in millimeters. So what we consider as hole material here basically is a combination of all the three different sizes here. And of course, wollastonite here, which is a pure silicate mineral. So this material will apply at a rate of 125, 250, 500, and 1,000 kilogram of silicon per hectare in pots containing 5 kilograms of soil. They were incorporated thoroughly into the soil and then irrigated to fill capacity and allowed to incubate for up to 1 week. 1 week after the slide application, we divided the pot into two groups. One group was planted with wheat plant and the other group was left unplanted. 30 days after the slide application, as you can see in the second picture here, we went in and took soil samples, and then we continued taking samples at every 30-day interval up to 120 days after the application of the slide. So our sampling method involved taking 3 cold samples from each pot, and then we processed the samples and extracted them using the 0.5 molar acetic acid procedure, and the sample extract were analyzed for plant available silicon using the molybdenum blue colorimetric procedure, as you can see in this picture. As physiological maturity, the entire plant was harvested and separated into green and straw. And then we determined the green and straw used separately, and our straw was also analyzed for silicon following the molybdenum blue colorimetric procedure. Now coming to the result. So these two graphs show the changes in soil silicon content with time as affected by our two different slag material. So the first graph here represents the soil silicon content affected by our slag 1, and then the second graph represents the soil silicon content affected by slag 2. So basically we see that at 30 days after application, soil silicon was dramatically increased by both material, and then it remained pretty steady in each category of the material with the granular size up to 90 days after application, in which for the fine and whole material we started to see a decline in the soil silicon content for both material. But then for the coarse, for the pellet, the wollastonite, for pellet and wollastonite material, we'll see that the soil silicon content remained pretty much constant up to 120 days after application for both sources. So we also wanted to see what was happening to the silicon in both planted and unplanted pot. So this graph showed the change in silicon content in both planted and unplanted pot. So the dashed line represents the soil silicon content in pots that had no crop in it, and the solid line represents the soil silicon content in pots with crop in it. So generally, we see the same pattern. After 30 days, we see that the soil silicon remained pretty much constant in each category, but there was slightly high silicon concentration in pots that had planted, that were planted with wheat, as compared to those that were not planted with wheat. So this graph and the graph after this also show the estimated available plant silicon based on the total amount of silicon added to the soil. So on our x-axis is the total amount of silicon added in milligram, and then on the y-axis is the estimated plant available silicon, which is the amount of monosilicic acid we measure. So from this graph, we can see that our fine material released pretty much high silicon, followed by the whole material, which is represented by the purple line there, and then the coarse and the wollastonite. The pellet material released the least amount of plant available silicon. Similar trend was also observed for our slide 2, as you can see there in the graph. So we also wanted to know the amount of recoverable silicon in each pot, planted and unplanted pot. So this graph shows the amount of silicon recovered in each pot. The green bars represent pots that were planted with wheat, and then the red bars represent pots that never had any plant in it. So for wollastonite, we see that there was pretty much not much difference between the amount of silicon recovered in each pot, in planted and unplanted. But for slag 1, we saw a significant difference in pots that were treated with planted with pellet, coarse, and whole material, and there was no difference observed in recoverable silicon from the fine material. For our second silicon source, we saw no difference in the amount of recovered silicon between planted and unplanted pots. And this table showed the amount of silicon available, the amount of plant available silicon, as you can see here, based on the total amount of silicon present in each of our grain size, our particle size. So we can see that our fine material pretty much high level of silicon, plant available silicon in both sources, as you can see. So with the decreasing particle size, the more plant available source was present in each category. Wollastonite here had a higher amount of plant available silicon, which can be explained by the total amount of silicon present in wollastonite. And this graph shows the plant silicon content as affected by the rate and the different granular size. So for our slide one material here, we'll see that at the application rate of 125 kg per hectare, somewhere there, we see that the silicon uptake or the plant silicon content was the highest, but then begin to drop or either remain stable across each category. But for our second slide material, we saw that the plant silicon content continued to increase with increasing application rate up to 100 kg per hectare. So how did that play into the green yield? We saw that wollastonite had the highest green yield over the control plot. And then for our slide one, we saw that the coarse and whole material has the higher green yield over the pellet and fine material. And then for our second slide material, we saw pellet and whole material with the highest green yield over coarse and fine material. So then what would be the optimal application rate considering these different material? So for slide one, as seen here in the first graph, we saw that the application rate of 125 kilogram per hectare obtained the maximum yield for fine and coarse material. And then for pellet, wollastonite, and whole slag material, an application rate of 500 kilogram per hectare had the highest yield. In our second graph, we'll see that an application rate of 250 kg per hectare has the higher yield for fine and coarse material. And then 550 kilogram per hectare will obtain the higher yield for wollastonite, whole, and pellet material. So what can we conclude from this study? The release of monosilicic acid was very influenced by the variable particle size, with decreasing particle size releasing the highest amount of plant available silicon. But this higher amount of silicon did not always result into the highest yield, as we saw in the graph. So whole slag material sent in both categories seem to have the highest yield as compared to the other one, seem to be pretty much the most appropriate source for silicon in wheat. And the optimal application rate usually for wheat will range between 125 to 500 kilograms per hectare. With that, I would like to say thank you to my thesis committee, my LSU soil fertility family for helping me set up this experiment, and the Edward Levy Company who provided the slide material and also for funding. Thank you. I would like to take your question. So basically we use the question is, how did I analyze the data presented here in the data in the graph? So basically we use Excel to analyze, and then we use the error bars that you see there. They were calculated based on the count, the number of treatment, and the standard deviation from the mean. So based on that, we were able to determine which one of our treatment was having the higher yield, or which one was significantly higher than the other one.
Did that answer your question?
Sorry.
Yes. Well, I guess just also the same graph. I see these strange dips in the yield at some higher rates, and then it goes back up, or maybe slag too fine, it starts decreasing after a certain point. Do you maybe hypothesize to what is going on?
So the
question.
So the question is, we see decrease in yield with increasing rate, right?
Or sometimes it dips.
Oh, it dips and goes up. So actually, like you mentioned, toxicity. Silicon toxicity have not been reported in crop yet. So we cannot say it was toxicity, but this could be also due with maybe interaction with other essential nutrients could be affecting the yield with all this dip and down. So that's the reason why we try to establish like an optimal application rate, because I mean, like any plant nutrient, too much of it would not be good. Like we also see like in nitrogen application, higher nitrogen rate usually can lead to decrease yield. So So this could be similar phenomena that's happening here.
Please join me in thanking Oakley for that presentation.